Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, good morning.
How is everybody? Good? All right. Come on up. Woo, you guys are fast. All right. Hi, Brody. Good to see you all today. How are Jesus' little lambs today?
Good.
Yeah. Shouldn't you say, baa? If you're a lamb, shouldn't you say, baa, when I ask you how you're doing? Can you say that? There you go. Yeah, bad. That means good because you're smiling, right? I know what you're saying because you're smiling. Yeah. Shepherds take care of what? What do shepherds take care of? Yeah, sheep. What do cowboys take care of? Horses? I guess they do take care of horses. What else do they take care of? Cowboys? Take care of cows. It's kind of confusing, isn't it, who takes care of what? But the one thing we know for sure is that Jesus takes care of us. Jesus takes care of us. Like a shepherd takes care of his sheep. A true shepherd will get in between a vicious animal that wants to attack his sheep and the lambs, so that no harm will come to them. Jesus does that for you and I when he goes to the cross. He places his body between us and death, between us and sin and brokenness and darkness, things that want to steal our hearts from God and from Jesus. He puts himself between that and us to protect us. Sometimes people think that we're so far from the idea of and an understanding of what shepherds do that we should maybe throw that out the window, that imagery out the window. But I think it still serves for us as a good analogy of what Jesus does for each of us. He takes care of us. He protects us. He gives us the food and the water that we need. He walks with us. When we're lost, he finds us. These are the good things that Jesus does for us. He keeps his eye upon us because he loves us. And he tells us that what the Father has given him and those who the Father has given to him, that would be you all and me and you all out here, what the Father has given him, not one will be snatched out of his hands. That's the kind of protector that Jesus is. He keeps our life through thick and thin, through light and darkness, through death and life. He holds on to us, always to give us new life, always to keep us safe. Shall we pray? Dear Jesus, good times and hard times come in life, and through it all, you are with us to pick us up, to carry us when needed, to heal us, to bandage our wounds, to comfort our hearts and our spirits, and to give us hope. Help these children today and every day to know that you are near, to know that you are watching over them, protecting them, guiding them. When they go astray, continue to lead them home. When they are faithful, continue to encourage them. Bless this congregation, Lord, as our shepherd. Help us to hear your voice and to follow, and to serve you with joy in our hearts. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I kind of hinted at in the children's sermon, there is a debate going on in the ranks of scholars and pastors alike. And we wonder, at least wonder, whether this euphemism that Jesus uses in John chapter 10, this euphemism to reveal or to conceal his true identity, whether that euphemism, "I am the good shepherd," is outdated. Some say that culture today is so far separated from this agrarian imagery that we can no longer know or understand its meaning and its intended impact upon our lives. And therefore, some say it needs to be reimagined with new imagery from our modern day. And there may be some truth to that. But I've given this a lot of thought over the week. And here's where my mind went. And I pray and I trust that my mind was led and guided by the Holy Spirit. I spent the first 28 years of my life on a farm. We were dairy and hog farmers in western Iowa. Renee and I started our family there. Our five children were born while we were living on the farm. And when we left the farm, they were ages 12 to 2. And only once did we buy some orphan lambs for our kids to raise, three of them. They were named Megan, Mark, and Milo. Mark and Milo met the demise of a coyote. Megan lived long enough to become meat for the winter. During those years of farming, I knew a handful of farmers who raised sheep as a way of life. And today, as far as I know, that handful of farmers or shepherds are all out of business. I've been a pastor for almost 18 years. And again, as far as I know, only one of my farm families in three calls raised sheep as a way of life. Only one out of hundreds of families that I've been called to serve. Now, here's the real kicker as I think about it. When I traveled to Israel-Palestine for the first time in 1994, there were many sheep and goat herds throughout the land. And I could buy a lamb meat shawarma, a sandwich, on any corner, almost any corner in Jerusalem or Bethlehem. When I went back in 2010, I could not find a lamb meat shawarma anywhere. Beef, turkey, yes. Lamb, nowhere to be found. And so what I've realized through this thought process is that shepherds have been displaced. In the Middle East, shepherds have been displaced mostly as Palestinians, as they suffer under the threat of land theft and confiscation, or as they suffer under the guise of a security wall that is needed, but a wall that separates those shepherds who lived in villages and could no longer reach the land where their flocks had grazed for generations. or under the matrix of control, or under the threat, even to the shepherd's life, by people trying to hurt them and steal their land and force them off of that land into the cities. In our country, land prices are too high to support the lifestyle of shepherding. Wool prices for years have been too low because of man-made products that are cheaper to produce. Simply stated, shepherds are displaced because the cost of business is simply too high. So whether those on the side that say this analogy is no longer relevant or on the side of those who say it's still viable, I do not know on which side to stand. But what I do know is this, that Jesus, the one who is telling us this story, the one who claims to be the Good Shepherd, the greatest danger in our relationship with Jesus Christ is that he will be displaced. You see, Jesus, like shepherds, the shepherds of today, he gets displaced. He gets displaced by false shepherds, by things that promise to give us life, by things that promise to lead us into quiet and still waters. Jesus gets displaced by money, by walls, by military and guns, even by our self-egos and our desire to be self-determined. Jesus gets displaced. All of these things provide a false sense of security for us when Scripture teaches us clearly that Jesus is the way to the abundant life that God has planned for each and every one of us. In Acts 4, a text that comes not long after Jesus' resurrection, Peter and his disciples stand before the high priest and his family, basically on trial because they have healed a man. And the authorities want to know by whose authority they have healed this man. Peter, we're told, filled with the Holy Spirit, stands up boldly and he says, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all people, Peter says, that he has been healed by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom you displaced, Jesus says. Peter says, Jesus, he goes on to say, is the stone that was rejected. Jesus is the stone that was displaced by you, Peter says, the builders, and he has now become the cornerstone. Jesus is so often displaced and rejected by sinners like us. Again, by things like money and walls and military and guns and self-importance, these things that we trust more than we trust Jesus. But they are false shepherds, my friends. Jesus is displaced for two reasons. First, because he wants to transform our lives in ways that we are not willing to surrender to. And second, because we don't see or believe or understand that we need him to shepherd us at all. We so often hear John 3:16 quoted, but rarely do we hear 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives, our ego, our pride for one another. We don't want a shepherd who will shear us, who will trim us, and transform our lives. But instead, we too often seek a shepherd that we can make in our own image, one who supports our own life and our own lifestyle. 1 John 3:17 goes on to say, "How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? I earned it. It's mine. They don't deserve it. They are not worthy." And in these thoughts, Jesus is displaced. But Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he knows these are the very ways that will lead us to true life. His teachings are those teachings that will lead us to quiet waters, to good pastures, to good community, and to true life. And he teaches us that we find that life only when we give our lives away. Starting in our homes as we care for each other and forgive each other and hold each other dear. Moving out into our work and into our places of school and education as we care for those and forgive those who hurt us. Continuing throughout the body of Christ, throughout the church, as we seek to love one another and hold one another accountable. Protruding out onto the streets where we meet those who may be friend or foe or stranger, but to whom we are called to share this love that Jesus has placed into our hearts. You see, here's the good news. I can talk all day about shepherds who are displaced, but the truth is, all of this amounts to one thing. That we are sheep who go astray. Because we belong to a shepherd who will not be displaced. The problem is, we are like sheep. We get lost. We set our hopes on things that are not trustworthy. We believe and trust in and follow those false shepherds that present themselves as life-giving but only lead to death. Jesus is the one who leads to life. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who will not be displaced. We can set him aside, we can turn our backs, we can walk away, we can trust in another. And it's then when our good shepherd leaves the 99 in search of the one. It's then that our shepherd pursues, it's then that our shepherd roams the hills, searching the briar patches and the forests and the streams, looking for those who are hurt, injured, lost, and broken, so that he might pick us up, mend our wounds, and carry us home. This is the one who is searching for you and for me again today, calling us home, calling us into his reign of love and justice and mercy. His name is Jesus. His sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. Dear friends, if you can think of modern-day images or metaphors that help your people around you, to understand their need for Jesus and his mission of life transformation, then pursue those images and metaphors. Develop them and share them with those around you, for they may very well be what the world needs today. But as for me, I'll stick with the shepherd, the one who will walk with me and with you through the darkest valley, and the one who, even in the presence of my enemies, will set a table before me to feed me and nourish me, to feed and nourish us for this long, hard journey ahead. The one who will continually, by his grace, seek to transform our lives, to shear us, to pick those briars from our wool, and to renew us day by day. The one who will hold us and open his courts before us to all who trust in his name. He will lead us to eternal life, to quiet waters, and to abundant life, even as we walk through the darkest valleys.